All right, so tonight the story that I'm going to tell you took place during my master's, and it took place over the course of a single week, but it can really be broken down into two different parts. So the first part, part one, is about what really goes on behind the scenes of a nature documentary. And part two is about what really happens when you try to impress your girlfriend with your nature man skills. Okay, so it was June of 2010. I was at my field site, which was in Ohlone Regional Wilderness. It's this place just southeast of San Francisco, California. And our field site was kind of located in a pretty picturesque spot. There was these rolling hills of grasslands as far as I could see. The landscape was dotted by majestic oak trees. And everywhere, kind of scurrying about, you could see ground squirrels. The adults and the pups were just kind of scurrying around everywhere. The one thing you couldn't see, though, is that all the rattlesnakes that were kind of hidden in the entrance to the burrows waiting in ambush to try to get the squirrels. And that was the reason why I was there. So me and my field crew, we were there documenting, spending our days documenting these rattlesnake squirrel interactions. When one day I found myself working as a scientific consultant for America's Public Broadcasting Services. And essentially the reason why they came to us is that they were filming this television series called Moment of Impact. So this was all about documenting predator-prey interactions with these high-speed cameras. And so they came to us because they wanted to document these rattlesnake squirrel interactions, and in particular, they're hoping to capture a rattlesnake strike with their cameras. So I was pretty stoked about this opportunity because I was, we had a bunch of snakes tracked around our site, so I was pretty excited about trying to put them on to some different areas where they could really document these natural interactions. But I was also pretty skeptical. And the reason why is because in over 6 months of intensive field observations, I've only ever seen one rattlesnake strike at a ground squirrel, like with my own two eyes. So I was pretty skeptical that they were gonna be able to get to do this in a matter of days. So needless to say, my supervisor and I, we decided to come up with a backup plan, okay? So this backup plan required us to capture a snake that we could kind of strategically put in areas where there are lots of squirrels, right? Increase the chance of seeing interaction. Now, we were eventually gonna include this snake as part of our study, and for all the snakes in our study, we named them, okay? Now, this snake, it was the 18th snake as part of our study, and so if you look in the alphabet, that corresponds to the letter R, okay? Now, we also tried to give gender kind of appropriate names for the snakes. And so in order to determine the sex of a rattlesnake, you essentially have to go to third base with them, which essentially involves you sticking a probe down their cloaca. And if it doesn't go anywhere, it's a male. If it slips down a little bit, it's a female. So this snake was a female, started with the letter R. And at times we try to kind of match the snake's name with kind of its demeanor. And I remember when I captured this rattlesnake, it was pretty stubborn. She was a little feisty, rattling at me kind of most of the time. And I happened to know a sassy girl in my life whose name started with the letter R. That happened to be my girlfriend, Ruthie. So I named the snake Ruthie, Ruthie the rattlesnake. All right, so now kind of getting back to the cinematographers. So as expected, they were having a lot of trouble documenting these natural interactions. So now we got to institute our backup plan, which was tethering Ruthie to a piece of fishing line in areas where there's lots of ground squirrels, right? And so now let me assure you first, like Ruthie was, although she was really annoyed with the procedure, Ruthie the snake, she was perfectly safe, but that doesn't necessarily mean I was perfectly safe. There was one point where Ruthie, being stubborn and feisty as she was, she broke free of the tether and she started to slip down a ground squirrel burrow. And we hadn't put a radio tag on this snake yet, and I didn't want to lose her because that would like cost us like hours or maybe days trying to find another snake. So my gut instinct, grab it. Grab the rattlesnake by the tail. Now, like the golden rule for somebody that studies rattlesnakes is you never ever grab a rattlesnake with your bare hand. The funny thing is though, is that 99% of rattlesnake researchers violate that rule. Now, this was the first time I had, but luckily I was able to extract Ruthie and get her back. So nothing bad happened. We were able to get her back to filming some interactions. And you know what? The cinematographers got their fill of interactions. Now, Ruthie, again, she was quite stubborn, so she didn't give them the strike that they were hoping for to document in high speed, but they got plenty of realistic snake squirrel interactions. Trust me, a squirrel interacting with the snake that's tethered, that's not the same as the real thing. But anyways, they got plenty of footage of that, but they also got some really amazing footage of Ruthie rattling at like 800 frames per second, kind of on their high-speed camera. And I don't know, for me, I'd had a lot of rattlesnakes rattle at me before and never kind of thought much about the motion, but I'd always just thought, okay, they just wave their tail side to side like that. But it's actually kind of this pretty remarkable motion. It's kind of they're undulating their tail like back and forth like this and then actually bending it kind of side to side. So it was actually, I don't know, it was pretty amazing for me to see, and it's pretty amazing footage that they got. So that was ends kind of part one of the story. And now part two, this is where Ruthie, my girlfriend, meets Ruthie the rattlesnake. And this is where I fail to impress either of them. All right, so since we were going to include Ruthie the rattlesnake as part of our study, we had to, that meant we were going to have to surgically implant like a radio transmitter in her. So the first thing you have to do for that is that you have to put the snake under, essentially kind of like put them to sleep. So, and that's, you know what, it's pretty easy to do. Essentially what you have is you have this long plastic tube and you have the snake in front of you. You slip the tube over the snake's head, give them a little tap on the tail. They slither up the tube. You go down, grab them. I can't do it because I've got the mic. And then you've got the snake. It's perfectly safe. I honestly believe, and I taught that procedure and then you end up putting some like halothane on a piece of paper towel at the end, cap it, put it on for a few minutes, and then it knocks them out. Okay, so pretty straightforward, I thought. Now I had taught this procedure to lots of my field assistants, and at the time when we were about to do the surgery on Ruthie the rattlesnake, Ruthie, my girlfriend, was visiting for the first time to my field site, and I was pretty stoked about this opportunity so she'd kind of see what I could do. And I had a little surprise in store for Ruthie. So when Ruthie was visiting, I was like, "Hey, Ruthie, are you ready?" And she was like, "What are you talking about?" And I was like, "Well, you're gonna get this rattlesnake ready." And I showed her how to do it. Okay, I showed her how to do the procedure. Now, if you ask Ruthie about this story, I think we start to diverge a little bit. I thought I was simply kind of giving her encouragement to capture the rattlesnake. I think she likes to describe it slightly differently. But anyways, long story short, Ruthie safely got the rattlesnake in the tube, and then we started going along with the procedure. Okay, so get the rattlesnake on the table. We had knocked it out, and I start performing the surgery. This is, again, something that I was pretty excited about because not everybody gets to do rattlesnake surgeries, and I was getting to show my girlfriend how to do this, and this was like the best surgery I've ever performed. Okay, I made a nice clean incision, inserted the radio transmitter, ran the antenna all the way up the snake's body. It was perfect. Stitched it up, put on some medical glue to seal the wound. And then we're now all we got to do is wait for the snake to wake up. Okay. So 5 minutes go by, and that's normal. The snake hasn't woken up yet. 10 minutes start to go by, and now I'm starting to get a little bit worried. But again, it's not so unnatural for the snake to have not woken up. 20 minutes go by, and snake still hasn't moved yet. So now I decide, from what my advisor taught me, I should probably start giving the snake mouth to mouth. No, I'm serious. So now it's not like mouth to mouth like you would give a human. I didn't put my lips on the rattlesnake and breathe into it, but you could essentially open its mouth. There we go. All right. You essentially open its mouth, and their glottis is right there, which is like the opening to their throat. And you can stick kind of a hollow tube in there a little bit, and then I can breathe in and then help the snake exhale. Okay, so I start doing that. Half hour goes by. Ruthie, the snake, is still not moving. Hour goes by. 2 hours go by. Ends up getting kind of like late into the night. I'd been doing this kind of for hours now. And essentially, Ruthie the snake never woke up. Yeah, I was, and you know what? It was definitely all my fault. No, it definitely was. I mean, looking back on it, you don't kind of see it as it's happening, but I mean, Ruthie the rattlesnake had rattled probably more within like a week period than any rattlesnake ever rattles in like their entire life. And that, I think, on top of the surgery, was just kind of too much. So that's kind of like the sad part to the story. The one, I guess, kind of glimmer, one a little bit of the upside here is that about a month later, actually maybe 2 months later, I get a call from Ruthie, my girlfriend. We're still together. She didn't dump me, even though I tried to have her handle a rattlesnake, but she did that successfully. Anyway, she called me up, and she's babysitting for like 5 different kids. They're age 4 to 12, and she's like, "Hey, can we dissect Ruthie the rattlesnake?" And I had kept, as any scientist does, like, kept the dead animal in the freezer to do something with later, and this happened to be for dissecting. And actually, I never dissected a snake before, so I was actually kind of excited about this. So bring the snake, and we're in their backyard, and we thaw it out. And for all of us, all of the kids, Ruthie and I, this was both the first time we had been dissecting a snake. And so it was kind of cool to get to see everything that's inside, because snakes are pretty unique organisms. Everything is just spread out all along the body. The one kind of sad thing, as we kind of cut her open, I saw 11 embryos. I know. So while it was pretty exciting for the kids and everybody else, it made me a little sad. Because they got to kind of see the rattlesnake babies in the making. But anyways, I guess kind of like the point to the story, I guess, is that I guess the one upside is that Ruthie the rattlesnake, or is that we're able to, I guess, kind of instill like an appreciation, I guess, for snakes and stuff, not only through the television series, but I guess also in these kids, which, yeah, I guess that was the upside. Sorry. All right, thanks.